This podcast is a part of the Blueberry Network. You can find this and other great podcasts at blueberry.com. That's blueberry with no E's .com.
Diane, in terms of title, what do we call you? Yeah,
oh,
everything?
No.
Boss.
Goddess. Oh, goddess.
Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are theater geeks.
Hi, welcome to Theater Geeks, a podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We are talking today about ticketing, which is sort of the business side of community theater. And we have two special guests with us today, Diane and Bruce Rowe, who are the founders, owners, and apparently chief bottle washer, cook, and general managers of Center Stage Software in California. What city are you in, by the way?
Well, we're actually in Seaside, California, which is actually on the Monterey Peninsula.
Uh-huh.
So, as Marcia knows, it's just we've got like five cities, very small, you know, cities next door to each other on the peninsula.
Well, welcome to Theater Geeks, and thanks for coming on to tell us about online ticketing and computerized ticketing for community theaters. One of the things that we're talking about before we really started the show here is that just a little bit about your story and how you got this started. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Center Stage Software?
Well, I can start off saying I used to work for the city of Monterey, and I also was a school teacher. I was a credentialed teacher. Then I was working for the city of Monterey, and I was also a part-time community theater performer. And so that was my connection with community theater. Is I started to, we have quite a few active community theater organizations on the Monterey Peninsula. And so we were doing, I think, Grease at the time at the Monterey Peninsula College stage. And, or was it West? No, it must have been West Side Story. That's what it was. And there, of course, West Side Story is a very, very popular show. So, of course, we had to hold the stage for about 15 minutes because people were standing in line trying to exchange their vouchers for a real ticket into a theater that was just general admission. There was no reserved seat. So we were wondering on stage how come we're not going to be starting right at 8 o'clock, and it's because they're trying to get all the people in. So right there at that very moment, I thought, there must be a better way to get people into the theater. And so I started thinking about what can I do to make it easier for people to get into the theater so we can start the show on time. And so there started the basic idea of Center Stage ticketing.
And when was this, Diane?
85,
what's that?
She said.
85, yeah.
Yeah, that was in 1985.
Okay.
And so I basically, Bruce likes to tell this part of the story. So I'll let you go, Bruce.
Well, I was a merchant seaman, amongst other things. I got married, and my wife said she was happy with me going to sea. Guess what? She lied. Well, the next thing I know, she says, "You remember the business we talked about?" I said, "What?" She says, "Yeah, we're going to start a central box office, sell tickets to all the local amateur theaters." And I said, "What?" She says, "Yeah, I've quit my job with the city." "What?" "Yeah, you want to come and see the office I've rented?" "Oh." This was on my first day off the ship.
Oh, my goodness.
So I could see that it did not have the chance of a snowball in hell. So I also knew enough about being married to know that if I put my foot down, I could probably stop it, but it would also be held against me for the rest of my life.
Naturally.
Yes. There are certain things that make sense now that did not make sense then. Well, we got into business, and we discovered the name of the game was not so much handing tickets over the counter. The name of the game became keeping track of the money, keeping track of who was going to what show, what performance at what theater.
Whoa.
And the traditional way of doing it was to deal with ticket stubs, and you tear off the ticket stubs, you put them in a pile, and sort them out later. Well, that all was a great thing if you have enough people. In our case, we didn't. The amount of work quickly overwhelmed us, so we started scratching our heads. Well, this is going to kill us. We cannot survive this way, let alone make enough money to survive. So it was at that point we started figuring out how to get a computer to do the work for us. And so eventually we started figuring things out, what really needed to be done, what benefits it could bring. And about that time we had theaters starting to come around. They'd look at the line of people outside our office and they'd say, how is it you're able to handle so many customers with so few employees? Because there were only five of us working there. And we said, oh, we just told the computer to do the work. And they said, what? We've heard of computers doing work. We've even heard of computers in show business. But a computer in show business that's actually making money for the organization, bringing some benefits, this we got to see. So we showed them. And they were said, this is interesting. Could you do a demonstration for our board of directors? We did. And then people had, it was an amazing thing. There was usually a silence afterward. And then the most amazing thing happened. And they said, how much? Said, what? Yeah, we want to buy it. What? Yeah, we see the benefits for us. We want to buy it. And that completely took us by surprise. So at that point, we started doing what Bill Gates does. We said, okay, now, the way you do it like this, take your money, put it in an envelope, and mail it to us. And then every day we started going from the mailbox to the bank. Isn't that what Bill Gates does?
Yeah. Yeah, so that was, I think that was, 1988, Center Stage Ticketing became Center Stage Software. Because you have to remember, since we're dealing with community theaters, we were doing a service for about 25 separate community theater organizations in our very small Monterey Peninsula. And so the thing is, though, on the Monterey Peninsula, nobody likes to pay for service. And this was prior to people being used to the high service charges that Ticketmaster charges today. Back in those days, people didn't want to pay service charges. Mm-hmm. Well, they still don't, but they're forced to now. They've gotten used to it. But so we really weren't making any money on a transaction. I think at the theaters were paying us 10% of what of the money that was coming in. If we started charging a service charge for people to come to our central box office, they would complain and say, well, why should I come here to buy a ticket when I can just go to the theater and buy the ticket without having to pay a service charge? So that became a real problem because we were open Tuesday through Sunday from 10 to 6. While the box offices were only open generally 2 hours before the performance.
Right.
So if you wanted to buy a ticket to a show, you'd have to wait till 2 hours before. And then they were generally doing shows Thursday through Sunday. So if you wanted a ticket for a Sunday, you'd have to go there on a Thursday or Friday to buy a ticket for a Sunday performance or a Saturday performance. So people were complaining that they couldn't get tickets when they wanted.
Plus, you had the same problem of people showing up and the large crowd of people trying to buy tickets right before a show and holding up performances again.
Yeah, so that's where people were really utilizing us. Because of our service, the amount of people that were going to see theater raised up to 40%. The community college, when we first started handling their season tickets, they only had about 1,000, I think, season ticket holders. Mm-hmm. And by the time we closed Center Stage Ticketing, they were bringing in about 4,000 to 5,000 subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
And so we made it possible for people to buy their tickets ahead of time, and so we were able to print out reports through. Back in those days, we were using a DOS program called Tick Sales. And Bruce, again, developed the DOS program, and we were able to print out reports using an old dot matrix printer, which we still have in our company to this day. and then we used an Okidata label printer, and we would be able to print labels to put on a ticket envelope which would have the person's name and how many tickets they purchased, the date of the performance, and whether they were paid or not paid. So when they came into the box office, into our box office, we would, you know, have a shoebox full of ticket envelopes. And so you would come in and say, okay, I'm Dave Dufour. And so we go into the box, we find your envelope and hand over the tickets. And if it's paid for, we just hand over the tickets to you. If not, you pay us, we hand over the tickets. And we were able to provide each theater a report of how many people were coming and, you know, who was coming to the theater that night. And we would be able to send a check or pay a check to the theater manager for all the tickets that we sold. Mm-hmm. So it was quite a wonderful service. Unfortunately, we couldn't make enough money to really make it a viable business until the day came when I think it was Shakespeare Santa Cruz that came to us and said, "We would like to buy your program." Mm-hmm. And so we just basically stared at each other like, what? And how? We didn't even know how much to sell the program for.
Right. But,
that was when Center Stage Software was born. I think that was in 1988.
So you're still 10 years ahead of the internet really taking off as a way of offering tickets.
That is correct. Yeah, and we were doing we had dial up later on to handle credit cards. So when people started to call on the phone to give us a credit card number, that was pretty revolutionary because most of the theaters were not even taking credit cards.
Right, right.
If only cash or check.
So you were dealing with the credit cards for the theaters at that point?
Exactly.
So you're doing dial up, and then when did you start realizing that the internet was going to be the next kind of frontier on this?
Well, like everything else, we don't do that kind of stuff. Our customers, though, with theater people especially, they're very good at knowing people, at letting other people know their opinions as what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Waited for them to tell us. In our case, we saw it as being something that actually had some benefit for the average person. And so we were quick to jump on it. However, we saw right away that the difficulties in doing it were beyond what we could expect theaters. And so it became apparent that most theaters were not going to have the expertise or the time to devote to this. But on the other hand, they would very much like to have somebody else to do the work for them.
Right.
So this is where these outfits like Ticketmaster started expanding their expertise, and they started growing. And so we said, well, we don't really want to compete head on with Ticketmaster. We do compete with them and everybody else. But on the other hand, there's quite a market for the people that Ticketmaster does not want to deal with. Another way of saying it, God loves poor people. That's why he made so many.
Well, if community theaters were to go to Ticketmaster, and perhaps some do, that's a significant hit on the ticket price compared to the average price of a community theater ticket, which is generally relatively low. I mean, on a Broadway show, percentage-wise, it may not be so much, but on a community theater ticket, it could double the price, couldn't it?
Oh, very, very easily, and it's backed up by Ticketmaster's, shall we say, standard of service. So there's a reason that people like us fit in and exist, and we exist quite happily alongside Ticketmaster and all the other people that think they're going to get in the market, and it was the same thing we faced in the 90s. People would get hold of a copy of Visual Basic and think they're going to compete in this market.
Yeah.
Well, not quite. right now, the big thing we have going for us is that most theaters will scratch their head and say, well, how much do we have to pay for an online service? That sounds expensive. Well, the answer is it's free. Or is it? Well, then they start saying, well, let's take the service charge per ticket that our customers have to pay and multiply it times the number of tickets per year we have to sell. And gee, I think even a small theater will sell 10, 20,000 tickets. Multiply that times an average price of $2 a ticket, you have a fairly interesting amount of money, which people say, gee, if I had that money, I could use it to improve the theater. I could put on better shows. I could pay my people more. How do we get the same service for less money?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a common thing that businesses deal with. Some people, they say, I don't care. I just want to get things done. Those people tend to go for the bigger services that charge their customers a lot of money.
Right.
Customers these days are used to paying that, so everybody's happy. On the other hand, there are companies that say, we want to have all the money in our hands. We want to be in control, and we also want some artistic control over what's presented. Those people, they look at us and they say, wow, this is a bargain. This will pay for itself in a couple of months. So they jump on board with us. But
yeah. It's interesting that you say that because we've, of course, one of the reasons why we're speaking with you today is because my personal theater works with your system. And we just recently in the last 2 weeks went on to your WebTix and have found that through purchasing online that we're only charging $1 per ticket, that it's already paid for the first 2 months of your service, which is great, you know.
So do you experience an immediate jump in sales in general? I mean, all other things being equal, when the online ticketing becomes available?
No, it's very slow. It'll start off maybe 1% the first month or two, but it will slowly grow.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what people want. The problems, which you should also look at, do not change. We deal with two problems, which we've always dealt with. One is convincing people to back up their data every day. And the second is convincing people they do need to balance their cash drawer. And you say, well, gee, this is obvious to us. Well, what's obvious to one person is not obvious to another. So that's what we deal with. And as long as they're willing to do that, we can promise that they will become a member of the Sanctified Brethren. That means is they can, their cash drawer is balanced. They've got a copy of their daily sales report stapled to their bank deposit slip. And when they do that, they can walk down the street and accountants and bookkeepers will step aside for them.
Okay. Well, here the thing is that what I'm trying to get at is the advantages for a community theater in terms of it seems sort of self-evident that if your box office is open essentially 24/7 as opposed to being open 4 or 5 hours a day, weekdays only, or just a few day hours before performances, that you're obviously giving more opportunities for people to purchase tickets, which has to translate into more people actually buying the tickets.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the thing is, you're probably well aware of when, you know, the patron comes into the box office or calls you on the phone, you know, we get to talking about what shows they want to see, and when we were running our central box office, we were always getting calls like, well, what do you recommend? I'm in town. Since we're a tourist destination,
mm-hmm.
People were always asking, well, we're new in town, what would you recommend? We're really into theater, we'd like to see shows. So we would be able to go into our software and run a calendar of events as to, you know, which theaters were playing which shows and when and where and how much. And since we got to see all the shows, we were able to say, well, okay, do you like dramas? Do you like Shakespeare? What do you like? And so we'd spend quite a bit of time with the patron to figure out, you know, what they would want to see. Now, for the local patron, they would say, well, okay, if there was one venue that did have reserved seats, they would say, can you tell me which seats are available? Well, can you check this date? Well, what seats are available there?
Right.
Well, it would be very easy to spend at least 10 minutes with a patron.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, when you're paying people to run to sell tickets for minimum wage, and this is where Bruce would always say, you know, how much money does it take to sell a ticket? I mean, how much time does it take to sell a ticket? So basically, we were losing on every transaction because of all the time that we had to spend with a patron.
Yeah, and the line's busy. People get frustrated.
Exactly.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
So the online, what we tell our customers is that you are enabling your patron to go online at any time, day or night, and they can spend as much time as they want checking to see which performances are available. They can check the seating charts to see, well, which one has more seats and which less seats. And they don't use your time.
Right.
And so now by the time the customer finally makes up their mind, they can buy their own tickets, or they can study. If they would rather not pay online, they can at least look to see what's going on and then give you a call coming to you with more of an idea of what they want.
Okay. What
rather than spending your time trying to convince them what to purchase.
Right. What? How many systems do you in terms of distribution? How many systems are out there using WebTix, WinTix at this?
Well,
at this
at point? Least we're still trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
You know, we have at least 250, and it's growing every day. It's one
right.
of those things when we were asked about, well, do you have a business plan, when we were thinking about establishing this business. Theaters are like weeds in a garden. I mean, it's like you just don't, they're popping up all over the place, new theaters. And then there are theaters that are closing their doors. But as every time we find out that a theater has closed their doors, two or three have popped up.
Right.
So we really don't know how big a market we're dealing with sometimes.
Sure.
The other part is we've had a fair number of different things that surprised us that we never expected, that, say, a flea market would be interested in our software.
Mm-hmm.
We've also got quite a few bootleg copies of our software floating around out there, including one story that was given to us by a woman who said, yeah, I was in New York, of all places, and I saw your software being used in a hotel. Really? Says, yeah, they were using it to sell rooms, to take reservations for rooms for the night.
Huh. Wow.
So our software? Oh, yeah, I'm definitely sure. And this was in a hotel, and they were using your software. And I know I'm an actress, but I'm not that kind of actress.
All right. Where can people find out more about Center Stage Software?
Well, you know, everybody goes to Google. Everybody finds us online. One of the questions we're always asked is, how do you advertise? Well, we have been very, very fortunate. We've never had to pay for advertising.
Okay.
Word of mouth, most of our customers come from referrals. That is still number one in mm-hmm. terms of how people find out about us. But of course, now in the day of being able to Google anything, that's how people find us.
Okay.
Is they just put in ticketing, you know, ticketing software, and Center Stage Software comes up, and then you can go to our website.
But it's centerstage.com though, is if people that are listening, and we'll put a link to that from the in the show notes for the for this particular episode of the podcast. And
okay.
You know, it's a fascinating story how you got started, you know, with the the standard paper and tickets and making stacks of things. And finally, obviously it seems like this was probably where it was heading all along. You just didn't know it back in 1985.
Yeah, that's quite right. Because, actually we were kind of like a chamber of commerce because
right.
We were giving directions to everybody. And then of course, since I was very, involved in community theater, I was friends with a lot of the directors. So then our central box office became a place where we would also store a lot of actors' photos.
Mm-hmm.
And so directors would call us and say, well, we're going to be doing such and such a show. Do you have any idea of which actors would be available to audition?
Wow.
So it became like a hub of what was going on in community theater. So it wasn't just a place to buy tickets. It was a place where all the theater news was converging upon Center Stage Ticketing.
Yeah.
And so that part was really, really fun. And of course, like I say, if I wasn't performing in a show, we were seeing shows, and then all our people who were working for us selling tickets, one of the jobs is you have to go to all the live theater events. You just have
right.
to. Right. And so what better fun? One of the things that was so great, we never had to put a help wanted sign. people were always coming to us and say, Diane, you know, I need a job. Can I work for you? And we never had any problems having people work for us.
Right.
And they were willing to work for the minimum wage back then. I think it was like $5 an hour.
Right.
And they were basically students. They were middle-aged people, retired people who would work for us because it was such a fun place to be because people were coming and going and talking about live theater and what.
Well, and that's what theater's about is fun for the most part. And it's nice that you have software that helps us make sure that patrons get in to see how much fun it is.
All right. Well, thanks very much for being with us today. We've been talking to Diane and Bruce Rowe of Center Stage Software, and very best of luck to you with the software. I know that it's benefiting a lot of community theaters out there.
I love it.
Well, thank you very, very much for having us on. I think this is what you're offering is a great resource. And so, as you know, we've put your logo on our website. So more and more people will be.
We very much appreciate it. I think you will be linked as soon as this episode comes up off of our website as well. So that kind of wraps us up today for Theater Geeks. We forgot to mention in the last episode, by the way, that you should stop by our Theater Geek store. If you go to the website at theatergeeks.com and go to the geek gear, you will find things like cups, mugs, hats. Marsh is a big fan of the coffee mug.
Yes, I love it.
Yes,
I love
it. Holds a lot of coffee.
Holds a lot of coffee.
More coffee, the better.
I haven't bought any underwear yet, but I understand we have underwear.
That's right. By the way, Marsha, I read something recently, or heard something on the news.
If you're going to be nasty,
Is that coffee, heavy
coffee people
who drink
drinkers.
A lot of coffee drinkers have lower risk of death from like almost any factor. Risk factor they call them.
Excellent.
In the world. And so the more coffee you drink, the healthier
the longer
you're going to live. And oh, by the way, yes. And so, and what better way to get that coffee nutrition
than your Theater Geeks mug?
There you go.
Wow.
Wow, we really went around the bend on that one. Okay.
I just sat here and watched it happen.
Be sure to listen to Theater Geeks at the theatergeeks.com website. We are on iTunes. We are on Blueberry. You can pick us up on Roku if you got that little old Roku box on top of your TV. The Stitcher smart radio app for iPhone and Android. That's all from here. Thanks to Bruce and Diane Rowe for being with us once again. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
And I'm Marsha Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.